It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with the first verse. We've studied the first two verses. We'll begin with the third verse for the study. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And that, of course, is Parkview Bible Church and Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I'd like to visit our website. You'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to study the precious Word. Please that you begin now as we start to read. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together and study your precious Word today. I just ask that you will guide and lead us each and every step of the way. I thank you for the opportunity to have this program to proclaim your precious Word. I just ask that all ears are turned to you, that they'll listen to your precious Word today. I ask, first of all, that they come by faith to you and they trust in you as their Savior. They need that personal relationship. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall believe in their heart, speak with their mouth. Please, please, it's so important, dear Father, that they come to you today. Today is the day of salvation. And so please, that we do not tarry any longer with making that decision. And then the wonderful walk begins. And so this program is set to bring folks to the Lord Jesus and then to help them to grow. And so please guide and lead us today now as we study your precious Word. Touch every heart with these sweet words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at the first two verses last time we were together. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Sounds like a very fine church, doesn't it? Sounds like that they're being very diligent, working very, very hard in bringing the Word of God to their neighbors and to those folks, and what qualities they possess. They're workers, they have great patience, and they also discern false teachers. That's something that today is lacking in all three categories. We lack laborers, we lack workers today. We lack those that even are working. They don't seem to have many patients today. They're just very nervous, and they're not willing to wait upon the Lord to watch Him give of His power and His strength and perform these wonderful miracles of salvation. And each time that we proclaim the Word, we expect that Word will never go void. And we know that it does not, because God's Word promises that. But if it doesn't happen as fast as we think it should, then we immediately begin to bring in programs and different ways, and as if we are helping the Holy Spirit to do a work, and we are not. Proclaim the Word of God, let the Word of God do its work, and folks will be saved, and folks will grow, and you'll have a strong church, not by some program that has been established by man. Seems as though that these folks are walking in that light. In that third verse now, as we continue to look at the accomplishments of this church, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted, has borne for my name's sake. These folks, for his name's sake, they're bearing the cross of Calvary. It's important that we bear the cross, and we are equally yoked with the Lord when we're born again. And so he carries the burden, he carries the load. And it's wonderful to walk each day with the Lord Jesus, serving him, praising him. But many times that brings some criticism, some condemnation. It will bring many times troubles, just troubles. Because as troubles are coming, and as troubles are present, we find that many people will quit instead of walking each day and serving the Lord every day, no matter what the consequences, possessing those patience and the strength and bearing the cross. In other words, you know, we're to die daily to self and to serve the Lord each and every day. So please, it's so important that we understand that we walk each day with the Lord Jesus. Many times that means that there's going to be trouble because this old world hates Christ and hates Christians. It seems today especially that any other religion can do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, but when it comes to a Christian, that's a different story. That's understandable because this world hates Christ, and we need to stand for Christ even if that means that we too are hated. They not only bore the cross, but they also preached Christ. They believed in the virgin birth of Christ. They believed that God was man, that the Lord Jesus Christ was complete God, complete man. They believed that when he died on the cross, that that was that sacrificial offering that was required that our sins be forgiven and taken away. They believed that. They also believed very clearly and much in his resurrection. They believed in his resurrection. They paid the price for their belief. They walked each day, labored, patiently labored. I want you to see that, and I want you to think about what goes on today. Because today it seems as though that if we just labor enough to get up on Sunday morning and get to church, and many times it's even a fact of getting to church late. Oh, what are you doing on Saturday night that you can't get up on time and be at church? You know, we should be reading the scripture on Sunday morning. We should be praying for the church service. We should be preparing our hearts to come into the house of God, to hear the word of God. It should be the most important day to a believer, to a Christian, should be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon. That's when we have studies here. That should be a very important time. Now, I don't know what your church has, whether they just have Sunday morning. If they just have Sunday morning, then you need to be up praying for your preacher, praying for the Sunday school teachers, praying that the Word of God be proclaimed and be proclaimed clearly, being praying that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus be proclaimed. And if it is not proclaimed, ask your pastor why it isn't. And if he says, oh, we don't do that, we believe in a universal salvation, and so there's no need to be proclaiming that all are sinners and need to come by faith to Jesus. Well, my friend, that's what the Word of God says. And so I'm going to ask you that if your preacher, your church, desires not to preach that truth, then you need to get out and find a church that does, because our time is very short. We need to be busy and laboring. And this church of Ephesus, it says, is busy at the work of God. Has fainted not, has not grown weary. You know, to not grow weary, that's tough. That's difficult, not to grow weary. Because, my friend, when you're working, and especially when you happen to take your eyes off of Jesus just for a little bit, and you look to the left and look to the right and realize that, my, I'm the only one that's working. Well, to begin with, you're not. But the old devil works on us in that way, doesn't he? So to begin with, there are many serving the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're the only one, because God has given you a race. The book of Hebrews tells us that very clearly. We're in a race, and that race is not to see whether we can hold on to our salvation, but it is a responsibility, it's burdens, it's a work that has been set before us to do. It's our own race. We have our own abilities. We have our own equipment, so to speak, to run that race. Every individual is different. And so don't compare yourself with another individual. You work and you labor with the talents God has given you, and let Him bless you, and not worrying about folks patting you on the back and doing things like that. But when we're working every day, even when we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, we get physically tired. We weary. Well, this church here, it says that they wearied not. They fainted not. Let me explain something here that I hope is the case in your life, that yes, you get physically tired. Yes, you get mentally tired. You may grow weary in the work, but don't grow weary of the work. As long as you don't grow weary of the work, then you'll be okay. In other words, Christ has given us this work. He has saved our soul. He has given us life. He has given us peace and victory. We need to walk each day in service to Him. And in that walk, we get tired, physically tired. But I hope that even though you're physically tired, that the work of Christ is still in your heart, and you want to do it, and you want to work, and you want to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. So please, you can grow weary in the work, but never grow weary of the work. And the difference of that is that after you have rested for a short time, you're going to get up the next morning and you're going to go right back at it, because you're not tired of the work, and now you're refreshed. We've talked about the church ages. There are seven churches listed here, and there are seven church ages, and it goes all the way from Pentecost, the beginning of the church age, all the way to the end of the church age, which will be the rapture of the church. And in that period of time, we have seven different time periods. And this time period right here, is the from Pentecost to 100. And so it's about 70 years in length. And so from Pentecost to the 100 AD is this church age, the church of Ephesus. Now, as I have said many times, this church age is equal. It's the same each time. I need to clarify that. Every church age, the seven churches, church ages, is present all through time, from Pentecost to now, until the end. But as we look and we see these seven churches, and we see each increment, right now, as we're looking at this in the year approximately 96 AD, is about when John was recording this, we find that these seven churches were in existence then. They were real physical churches then, and they have stayed all along. Some grow stronger and others grow weaker, but they've been present all along, still present today. But the dominating, the prominent church is the Church of Ephesus for the first 70 years, from Pentecost to 100 AD. So keep that in mind now as we look at the next step of this, because it's a sad step, and that sad step is the verse 4, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Nevertheless, that's a sad statement. I hope that God doesn't say that about me. I hope that doesn't say about you, because it's so important that we please our Lord. But there's a condemnation here. I have somewhat against thee, the scripture says. Thou hast left thy first love. Thou art leaving thy best love. Thou art leaving thy best love. Maybe a little bit different way of saying it here. Thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy best love. The love of Christ. These people knew Jesus as their Savior. They knew Him personally. They loved Him. They served Him. They praised Him. But this love was beginning to leave them. Now that is very sad, and it's very serious. Now you see, our salvation does not hinge on our service, on our continual love for our Savior. Our salvation, once we've come by faith and asked Jesus into our heart, that's once. We just do that one time. And when we do, Jesus comes in to live with us, and He lives there eternally. He never leaves us. The Holy Spirit comes and seals us. And so you see, once saved, always saved. You say, oh, that can't be. That can't be. God knows the future. He knows what you're going to do, how you're going to live. He has forgiven you for all those sins. We should live pleasing to Him, serving Him, praising Him every day. But our works and our service does not hinge upon whether we have salvation or not. That's upon our God, and He has sealed us, and He keeps us. So what a wonderful promise we have there. But they're losing their first love. Now, this special love that all believers possess, this early church had this special connection with the Lord Jesus. Did you feel and know and experience that special love of your Savior when you first got saved? And after a period of time, you kind of begin to lose that desire to go to church, lose that desire to work. Maybe you got physically tired. You got your eyes off of the Lord Jesus, got to looking to the right or the left, and you saw that, hey, wait a minute here, I'm the only one working. I'm not going to continue to work this hard. There's no reason for me to work this hard. Well, again, it's your race, nobody else's. You need to be serving the Lord because He saved you. And don't worry about what somebody else is doing. We need to help them all we can that they see the need to serve, because the day comes that they stand before Him, and they will, because they're saved, and there's different judgments, but the important judgment is the one that believers will stand before Him on, not judging whether they're good enough for salvation, not judging whether we're good enough to go to heaven. It's judging what we have done after we were saved, so that we get gifts. We get items that we can lay at the feet of Jesus. So you see, even when we get these wonderful gifts that God's going to give believers that serve Him, it's not for us to keep and to hoard like we do many times now. It's that we'll have all the more to lay at the feet of Jesus and show Him our love and our appreciation. I've got a story that maybe will help you understand. Maybe you already do, how we have kind of fallen away from this first love. There were two girls, and they were very, very close friends, and worked together. But one day, one of these girls quit, and as happens so many times, their lives didn't cross each other much. But one day they did. one was still working, the one that stayed working, asked, you know, where are you working? And she says, I'm not. And the one that is still working says, oh, you're not working? No, I got married, and I've had two little boys. And, well, what in the world do you do all day if you're not working? Well, I get up earlier than I used to when I worked, and I do that so I can get up early and fix my husband's breakfast and fix a lunch for him and wish him a good day and send him off on his day with a hug and a kiss, and then I'm off to taking care of the two boys, and I bathe them and I clothe them and I feed them and I do laundry and I clean the house, and then I begin to prepare supper for when my husband comes, and I always meet him at the door and want to know that he had a great day, give him a hug, again tell him I love him. The house is clean, laundry's done, supper's ready, and the boys are ready to see their dad. So they play a while, and while I put supper on the table. The girl that stayed working said, you work too hard. Why do you work so hard? You don't even get paid. I work this hard because I love my husband. I love my boys. It's not work because I love them. I'll do anything for them because I love them. Now let's jump forwards 20 years. 20 years. The same couple that's married now. Husband heads to work. The wife's still sleeping. The husband returns from work, opens the door. He hears from the upstairs, is that you? Seems the honeymoon's over. What happened to that love? What changed? They're still married. And they still love each other. But what happened to that first love? What happened to that first love? Do you kind of get an idea what happens to a Christian when they're first saved? And after being saved a while, just kind of get tired. Repetition maybe gets to us. I don't know what reason or excuse there is there, but there's many. And so you see, after a while, we start acting like this old married couple, don't we? And married couples shouldn't act that way either. But many times they do. Christians do the same. I hope that you have not followed in those same footsteps. I hope that helped you just a little bit to understand when Jesus says to this church of Ephesus, we've got something against you. You've left your first love. You're leaving your first love. Your excitement's gone. Your joy is gone. Oh, that should never happen. Never happen. And as a young believer, when you're first saved, you probably think it will never happen. As a young married couple, you probably think it'll never happen. But many times it does. Please, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. this love of teaching God's word, of telling people about Jesus, telling of his that he's alive, talking about him, giving out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Are you becoming weary of that great news? Oh, I hope not, my friend. I hope not. I love teaching the Word of God. I love it more today than the day I got saved. And I do it more than I did the day I got saved. We need to think back. Remember. Two words there that are important. Remember and repent. You know, we have the joy of having Lord's Supper. We have it once a month here. Some churches have it every week. Some have it three or four times a year. It just says as often as you take it. You take it in remembrance of me. Every time we come together and have the Lord's Supper, we need to remember what he's done for us. He has died on the cross for us. He has saved us. He has set us free. And we should never forget that. So please remember, think back, repent, return. Return. Or I am forced to leave, the Lord Jesus says. Salvation will be yours. But in this church, the church of Ephesus, their power will go away. And that's the very reason why most churches have programs today. They have become nothing more than a social group, than a saving, with the saving power of Jesus, and growing and strengthening and bringing joy and peace into the hearts of everyone that comes through the door. That can only come when Jesus is present. When that lampstand is there, because when it's moved, when he takes it away, he's gone. Church maybe many times will stay. Building is there, the people are there, and the people don't even know he's left because it happens so slowly. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. Hope you've trusted in him today. We're to be a people of action. Action. Do thy first works. Have and possess thy first love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Not sure we have time to read this before we're done today, but we're going to get started. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign unto thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them unto the post upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which I swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, the houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people which are round about you. We'll probably read that again next time, because we need to talk about that just a little bit. That was Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 14. Please read it yourself. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?